All right, everybody. It is good to be back. We're going to have a little bit more fun today than I have in the first couple of these that I put together, because I did them really on short notice, and I actually have something that you just might find a little bit more enjoyable to deal with, and I'll throw in some things that I learned from all this at the end. So for those of you who actually want to listen and get the idea of how to do some of these tips and techniques, I'll be able to give you a couple of pointers that I think just might work for you. First of all, though, I want to tell you about my week and why I've not really been around and why this ended up being done on Sunday when I meant to do it like last Thursday or something. Well, there were two reasons for that. The first one is that I spent a few days at my sister's house. I helped her, went with her husband and helped him with some of his work. He's an over-the-road truck driver, so you know, I was kind of going along and helping him strap, unstrap stuff and stay awake, and we put in some pretty long hours. The other thing that happened was last Sunday, when I actually got everything posted, including the little bit of audio we're going to look at today, I looked down and realized that my power supply was no longer charging my Mac, that the wire had been cut. Either I or probably someone at church had put a chair or a table on it, not realizing and not looking. You just didn't see it. And obviously it was not intentional. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. But they pinched that little wire on the charger, on the block. And if you know anything about the Macs, the side that plugs into the wall is not a problem on the block because those are interchangeable. They give you a little spare one to where you can just plug the block directly into the wall, and then they give you a big long extension cord. So those are swappable. Those unplug and you plug a new one in. But on the wire that goes from the from the block to the Mac, that little wire is built in and you can't swap those out, which is a shame. They ought to make those just as plug-inable as the other end so that you don't have to spend all that money on a block. I got another one from Amazon. It came Thursday, so I am back in business, and my computer's back up and running, and I can get back in here now and obviously play all this for you. Since you know, my battery had run dead Sunday, I didn't have a whole lot of chance to do anything extra with the track that I had placed up. I'm on SoundCloud, and I'm on Indaba. And in Daba, I'm just on under my own name. In SoundCloud, I use the name, hopefully one day a band name, I guess, of Free State. I'm just holding on to it. And it's just one word, Free State, just like you'd normally spell it. So let's go in and let's do a little fun stuff. You know about my week now, why I wasn't around, and why I didn't do this earlier. So just kind of want to explain to you what I did here. I got this little track that I finished and posted, and that you can go and listen to, but we're going to listen to it here. That way you can get an idea of what I did and how I did it and why I did it that way. And I also is kind of using it to point out that, you know, none of this stuff really has to be hard. You just have to take your time, mind your P's and Q's, and be a little patient and know what you're doing. And anybody can make tracks like this. I mean, this is nothing special. It sounds pretty good, though. I mean, for my first real jab at it that I've done here in the last year, I did a couple of things in Indaba, but those were remixes using other people's stuff for the most part, and I didn't get to spend a lot of time on it. But this, on the other hand, I got to put together much, much better. Let's get in, and I'll give you a description of all this, and then I'll tell you a few things that you might need to know if you're working with Logic or GarageBand, because the time stretch and the quantization and everything like that off of the GarageBand is really based on the same thing in Logic, so I'm sure that it's not completely, at least relatively the same. So there's a couple of things that even if you're using Logic here, you might want to keep a note of. That way, when you go to try this for yourself, it won't be such a big deal. Okay, so let's go ahead and let's take a quick look at this. It's not very difficult. Basically what I did was I was playing around one day and I put together this little kick and snare. It's nothing fancy, but it sounds okay. And this is just it by itself, nothing else. Okay, so you got the idea there. And I put these on the same track, partially because I did this from a kit, so there's not a whole lot I needed to add to it or do to it to make it sound better. It was just, you know, tap, 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 tap. And, you know, it's like kick, snare, kick, kick, snare. That's basically all it was. But it sounded okay, and it was neat, and it was a nice short little thing. Two bars long, obviously. And so I had it for a while, and then I just decided I wanted to go ahead and put it together here recently. I've been working on another track, which is a worship song that I'm working on the guitar right now part. I don't really personally believe that you always start with drums, you always start with bass, you always do this, you always do that. When I listen to a lot of music, you'll notice that there's always like that one instrument, that one lick, that one, you know, that one chord, that one whatever it is that stands out. Sometimes it's the drum, sometimes it's the bass, sometimes it's not. In my case, it's not. It's the guitar. I want to make that a strong point of the whole song, so I'm taking extra careful time to record a bunch of takes of it, and then I'm going to keep doing that for probably another week now that I'm home, until I get enough that I can put together and make a really good sounding track with the guitar part, and then I'll add everything else in. It just so happens in this case I started with the drum kit, but I decided to go ahead and take this on and start looking around. I found another kit that I was able to use in another spot, and basically what I did was, when I had this, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to look around and dig around looking for claps. So I kind of did, and I found this little sound, and I absolutely love it in one of the other drum kits, and so I decided that I was going to use it, and it sounds just like this, and I absolutely love that sound. That come across, I thought, well, that's so cool. So what I decided to do is I decided to use that as the beginning of the first bar of this, equal with the first kick. So when you put the two together, basically you have basically this sound right here. So once I had this the way I wanted it, then I did go ahead and look around and find a clap to add to it, and so I did. I threw a clap onto it, and basically what I ended up with was like this. And I want you to notice that I kind of have kind of an intro here, that the first two bars are just the kick and the snare, and then I didn't start in with the little droid sound, and the, as I call it, and when the song, the track's named after, and the kick until the second set of two bars. But it ended up sounding like this. So anyway, you get the idea there. Now, there's only two other parts actually to this. I put actually used some bolt strings, and bolt is simply the set of download instruments that you can get for GarageBand that are free, but they're really good quality, and I used them actually in this. I did it kind of by accident. I was actually shuffling around some parts to the snare and the drum and everything, and I happened to throw them into this track that I made for this bolt, which at the time was just kind of like my junk row that I was just putting stuff in to get it out of the way, and I forgot about it. But when I listened to it, it sounded really good. So I actually went ahead and used what I had pulled down as the basis for making a lot of the stuff that ended up in the string section. So the strings, they're pretty simple. For the most part, the small short pieces are actually just one note played out in rhythm. And it sounds kind of something like this on its own. And that's all there is to that part of that. And I repeat these. And then I have little breaks put in. I have two breaks. And those actually are chords. And what I did was I actually found... Anyway, I found the same octave that this was played in. And the same key. That's what I was thinking of. The same key. So I played chords from the same key. And I just chorded this part out. And I wanted to go nice and long with the ending there. And I know that probably might sound a little odd to you, just kind of by itself. But when you actually put it in context, this all sounds pretty good. I also added a hi-hat. The hi-hat I added is really, really dry, because nothing else really was. I didn't go in and tweak a lot of things. To tell you the truth, I didn't even compress this track when I was done, because it was all MIDI, and it was all made from instruments. None of it was really made from samples or anything, so I didn't have a lot of wild fluctuation in it. It looked pretty tight on the analysis and everything, so I just kind of left it. But I did want to add a hi-hat to it that ended up being pretty dry. So this is what how the hi-hat part came out, and to give you some idea of just how dry it was. And this is just out of another kit. These are all from different drum kits and stuff. This one's from what's called a Breaks Remix. So. Now to get that, basically what I did was I went through and I played a bunch of it until I had a section of it that was perfect. That was a couple of bars long. And then I used that, and I copied it over to the beginning. Then I copied it to itself, made sure I had everything lined up right. I joined them. I copied again till I got it long enough that I could trust pulling it out as a loop, that it wouldn't get off track. And frankly, I never really had to do anything with it once I had it in. And there's a couple of reasons for that, and I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But that's what I did, and then here's the whole thing all put together to give you some idea of what I actually ended up with. Thank you. And that was that. That's the whole track. I did fade the drums out at the end. I added just a little bit more of the strings, and those were also a couple of chords that I threw in there. And I faded them down a little bit later than the drums to give it a little bit of body. The only thing I didn't actually fade was that little zoip sound that I used to name the track by. I just threw one of those out there at the end to just kind of like be that little, you know, that little done marker, you know. So I think it actually turned out pretty good. I enjoyed making it a lot. And so let me go ahead now and give you a couple of pieces of advice that I found out from having done this and playing with it. Because like I said, the GarageBand and Logic both have quantization. And the quantization in them actually works, and it also has time warp, which works in a couple of different ways. And I'm not going to get too deeply into it right now. Just for the meaty parts and what you can and can't do. First of all, the quantization works pretty good. You just have to be careful with loops, because whenever you're off in the original, you're going to be off like a little bit more in the loops. And it's not super tight, the quantization. It will leave you a little bit of play. That way the notes sound natural, but you have to have the notes normal enough in the first half, in the part that you're looping from, because you can't go into the loop half. Once you loop something, the loop is a copy of the original that it's coming from. You have to go back to that original part and move the notes around in there. I had to do a little bit of that. It wasn't bad. It was just me being careless. I didn't make sure that the quantization was really tight before I used the looping function on it. And I really should have gone back and double-checked it. But it worked pretty good. Everything was within. And actually, the best way to look at it is bring up the piano roll so that you can see the notes. And the notes will appear as little bars, and you'll have all these little lines that come down. And you need to watch those, because it basically will allow a note to float around between two of the little lines coming down, which is probably a millisecond or two long for a really short note from the left bar to the right bar. And I was putting things up against the left bar, so I kind of had to go back and do that all the way through. But it worked pretty good. I mean, you know, it saved me a lot of time. And it did put the notes into the given rhythm. It just, because it allows a little leeway to make it sound a little more natural, wasn't quite as tight as I needed it, which was my bad. And I also set the kick and the snare as my groove track. You can take one of the tracks and say, okay, everything else gets set to this beat, this rhythm, this pattern in this track. And I did that with that. And that worked pretty well, too. There are a couple of things you need to know about using that, though. Right. It's not a good idea of just to throw something up and then just loop it out and not be careful. You really need to make sure that that's tight as well to the original. You want to make sure that it did pull the notes over to where you want to. Because there's four beats and I only used three, I had a couple of notes that were too far off, and they ended up going to the fourth beat because they were closest to the fourth beat rather than the third. And so it did what it was supposed to do. It put it on the fourth note, right? That's what it does. It went with the groove track. So I had to move a couple of things over. Once again, it wasn't bad, but if you're careful about it up front and you make sure, and you make these in short segments that you can look at and you can adjust, and you adjust those short segments, when you go to use those segments throughout the track or where, you know, in the sections that you want, it's a whole lot easier because they're already matched up nice and tight and the quantization won't throw you off. There is one other thing to know about copying and pasting this stuff. Wherever you begin a segment that you record, regardless of what kind of segment it is, where that segment ends or starts, in comparison to the notes that you're using in the groove track, you have to copy and paste those directly according to them. And if you bring up the piano roll, you'll be able to, as you go, you'll be able to see what I'm talking about. Like, if you look at the strings parts that I did, you'll definitely be able to see this, because the strings part come up in the piano roll, and it will show you where the segment is that you recorded, and it will show you where the notes are, and it will show you where the beginning and the end of what you recorded is at, based on those little lines. For example, on my first section, I did started one line ahead of where the note's at. And you can see that in the piano roll. You can see all the little lines. And you can see that that starts exactly one note ahead, one line ahead of the first note. So when you copy and paste this, you have to begin your paste one line ahead of where the notes are that you're wanting to match it to. If you don't, it will shuffle around the notes inside there because it has to pull them over now to get them to match your groove track. And that's very important. It's not hard to do. In fact, the easiest thing in the world, I mean, you go up to your the groove track, you find the notes that you want to match the next segment to. You go down to, and you put your marker on it at the top of the track to show where that's at. And when you go down to the groove track, it will move the marker there over to that point. So if you put it on a note and you know you have to go one line before that, you can then adjust the marker back one line and paste directly in, and it'll be exactly as the original was. Took me a little while to figure that out, but it's not hard, but it's just kind of that detail work that you need to look at and you need to make sure that you're doing right when you're doing this stuff. Music is all about timing. It's all about notes, timing, space, pattern, octave, the basics. I mean, and you have to have your basics to where you can do them before you should really be doing anything else. But that's all I have for you. I did this little thing. I learned a couple of things from it, and gave you a couple of pieces of advice as far as how to use a groove track. And I'm sure it works pretty much the same way in Logic it works in GarageBand, because they use the same engine to create this stuff. It works really, really well. You just need to be careful about how you start and stop things, and to make sure that the patterns that you want to use and the notes you want to use are where you want them at to begin with. If you'll do that, then going through and constructing the rest of the lines will be ridiculously easy. I did that with the hi-hat. I made two bars. I made everything else from those two bars. And instead of it taking me forever and ever and a day to get right, the groove tracking actually helped me do it in one pass. So if you're good to start with, you'll be great at the end, and you will have saved yourself a huge amount of time. All right, so that's my advice. That's my little glimpse into how I put this little track together and what I came up with. And I will talk to you again in another week or so. So keep listening.